Today is 27th of August, the Saturday, 2022, and we are all gathered here for the session on mindfulness for beginners in English. This is the 46th session on this program. I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante Hom Agama Dhamma Kusala Thero to this program, representing Nisaramane Forest Monastery. And I would like to also welcome all the attendees participating through Zoom and watching the live stream on Facebook page of Satipasala Foundation for this 46th session on mindfulness. So just to describe quickly, we will start off with the in-session mindfulness practice as guided by Bhante, and then proceed to the question and answer session where we present your reports and questions. And then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness, and then thereafter we will be wrapping up the session. So, as a first step of the program, I would like to invite Bhante, with much respect, to start off with the in-session mindfulness practice for today. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Thank you, Namantha. So, everybody, we will start another session with mindful practice. So, today I thought of doing a sitting session, which is somewhat different to the usual sessions that we do. Right, for this one, you just sit comfortably, make sure that you are comfortable, adjust your seat, and once you are comfortable, you can close your eyes. Now here we are going to surrender to the present moment. Now we don't have any bodily actions. Breathing is there, but it is not intentional. It is happening naturally. Your body is working, but you are not doing any intentional actions. So we have given up bodily actions. Then the verbal actions also, we are not doing any. We have given up verbal actions as well. No bodily actions, no verbal actions. Now you are seated here comfortably. If you pay attention, you will notice mental actions. Your mind is working. Take a few seconds noticing what is happening there. Various thoughts, ideas, future planning, probably sounds from your surrounding, then various bodily sensations. There is a flow of these things happening in your mind. Now what we are going to do is that we are going to give up any intentional mental actions. So even with your mind, you are not going to do anything. Although you don't do, things are happening. Whatever happening is fine. It is not under your control. It is out of your control. Just notice, just surrender to the present moment. And you will notice a flow of things. Bodily sensations, thoughts, memories, planning, sounds, various things are there. So the idea is to completely surrender and just be with this process. Just be with this flow. Don't try to do anything. Even not with your mind. no bodily actions, no verbal actions, no mental actions intentionally we are doing. Instead, things are happening. We just surrender to that flow. So as a group, let's try to be with this process for a while. Be with this flow for a few minutes. Thank you. Okay, everybody. So that's just being without doing anything. And if you can practice this every now and then, you will realize that it is so refreshing. It is making you peaceful. It is making you calm. So the invitation is that you can do this on your own. Every day, take 15, 20 minutes and try to do this just being without doing anything. No verbal actions, no bodily actions, even mental actions. You are not doing anything intentionally. Just being with the process, being with the flow is the idea of this practice. So with that, I think we can move to the next part, Namanta.
Much merits, Bhante, for that insightful session. Now, since this is a program that's named as a video on program, it will help if the participants can turn on the videos, because that will make the session more interactive in an overall sense. So if you are okay, feel free to turn the videos on. It is fine, and we would like that too. Now, as a next step, we are going to go into the question and answer session, and Venerable Bhante will provide insightful advice on how to carry on and improve your progress of mindfulness practice. So I would like to invite Nadeep to conduct the Q&A session. Moving forward, over to Nadeep. Thank you, Nadeep.
Thank you, Namanta. Much merit. With the most respect to Bhante, I would like to invite all the participants. If you have any questions, please present. And then I will, if there's no question, I will proceed with the mindful reports. You have option to click the raise hand option.
We'll start with the written reports, right?
Okay, Bhante. Today we have four reports, Bhante. Let me start with the first one. Walk-in meditation. Walked on wooden floor, watching right, left, then lifting, moving, placing of feet. Felt warm at one end of room on soles of feet, and cooler at another end. Noted the contact of heel on floor and gradual placing of foot. The beginning, middle, and end of heel, midfoot and toes being placed were observed, and then pressing of toes on the floor, and then the lifting. The emptiness when the other foot was lifted also observed. Sun on skin of arms and legs at one end of room, a sensation of something on both big toes, within brackets, like a small piece of paper, close brackets, which after a while passed. Realized this was just a perception and there was no paper. Walked 30 minutes. Sitting meditation. Observed breath as primary object. After a short time, the breath disappeared and noted the mind trying to attach to a different object. A space appeared and a light expanded and mind then distracted by sweating on forehead. Noted the light had disappeared and breath reappeared. The dripping sweat sensation had passed and appeared on the opposite side of face. Noted the flowing changing nature and watch it till the sweat drip and sensation of cold passed as it evaporated. The mind went back to breath and then pang of hunger was felt and watched it till this too passed. Mind noted the thoughts that came and went some, noting the different objects. Mind went to from breath. Excuse me, Bhante. Meditated for 45 minutes. Daily mindfulness. Noting mind been more accepting of situation. Within brackets, example, family member unwell, and being calm doing the needful without internal agitation. Also, unlike in the past, rather than trying to multitask, now doing one thing at a time, within bracket mostly. There is a sense of detachment, and although functioning as usual, internally there is much less interest in conversational situation with friends and family. Sometimes aware when mind is directing one to eat for no reason other than greed, or drink even if not thirsty, or the habitual behaviors such as sitting in favorite chair where there is a view of the garden, etc. More aware of constant greed for things, sights, situation, etc. With much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, let me start with the sitting report. Now, you are observing that breath is disappearing. After that, various things are appearing, right? Your mind goes and grab them. Probably the light that is appearing, probably some other sensation, probably a movement of the stomach. So usually breath disappears and your mind tends to go and grab something else. That's how it behaves, right? But you just have to be with this. You see now the light is appearing, disappearing. Sweat is appearing, disappearing. Probably thoughts are also coming. Various other bodily sensations are coming. So in a way, we are training ourselves to be with this flow. Be with this process. You don't have to do anything. Just be with that. Be the observer. Just see what is happening. Just be with the process. So that is the meditation. So real meditation starts here. This is a turning point in the meditation. When your breath disappears, that's a roller coaster ride. So you just have to be, you just have to experience. Various things may come and go. Sometimes you may be fearful. Sometimes you may be calm. Sometimes you may be peaceful. Various things will come. It's okay. You just have to be with them. Just experience it 1,001 times again and again. Every day, taking some time, being with this process. Just sitting on the cushion. And you have to have some discipline. Every day, you have to take some time. Probably early in the morning, you start your day sitting on a cushion and just really sinking in for 30, 40 minutes. That discipline you have to have, that investment you have to do towards the practice. And when you do that, you realize even your day-to-day life is changing, evolving. You become a different person. It's more like a rebirth that you are becoming a new person. You are changing yourself. You are discovering yourself. You realize that various things are there, but you are not worrying so much. You function. You do your task, but that agitation, that anxiety is not there anymore. Probably it's there, but it is less. So this is the benefit of the practice. Sometimes you try to do one thing at a time, giving full attention. Sometimes you have to multitask. Sometimes you are peaceful, things are okay at home. Sometimes family members are sick and worrying, problems at work, various things are there. That's fine. You just observe this again and again. You see how this mind is chasing after various things, suggesting that when you get that, you'll be peaceful, you'll be happy. This is the process. This is never-ending process. Now you are just the observer. Now you realize that greed is there, desire is there, lust is there. it is okay. It is more like human to have these things in your mind. You don't have to get rid of them. Just realize, just be with that. Just be the observer. That is the idea. Earlier also they were there, but you didn't know. Now you know. This very knowing is the practice that we are talking. This very knowing will create peace in your mind. So continue. This is a good report. You have to continue again and again and experience this more and more in your walking, sitting, as well as in your day-to-day life.
Much merit, Bhante. Second reports. Mindfulness of daily activities. Small description on that, Bhante. 25 minutes dog walk in quiet neighborhood of major city. Now the report began by stepping outside with dog and bringing to mind the intention to maintain awareness of body sensation with feeling of air as the primary anchor, within brackets, including both feel of air on skin and feeling of breath in the nostrils, close brackets, took 5 focused breaths to help establish concentrated mindfulness before inviting awareness to open more. Initially, predominant sensations were subtle, indistinct and bus-like breeze over face and arms, within brackets again, noted as breeze or feeling, close brackets. Subtler feeling of breath in nostrils, within brackets, usually noted but not labeled, sometimes labeled as in, out. Changing patterns of warmth and coolness and various qualities of dampness. Warmth and coolness sometimes seemed undistinguished respectively from brightness and dimness given sunlight patterns. Until the thinking mind arose and noted the difference between seen and feeling. Occasionally, thudding pressure of alternating steps came into the awareness, especially when stopping and starting as a result of the dog's activities. Sounds also emerged early on, interspersed with the above. Usually words or vague images arose in the mind, like birds, insects, car, plane, etc., as the sound was noted. These words, images, along with an evident interest in the mind of distinguishing between natural and artificial sounds, arose despite the lack of intention to identify or analyze sounds. Occasionally experienced sensations that felt like swimming rather than walking when the attention stayed with the changing air textures for longer periods. Noted desire for strengthening of this sensation and dissolution into sensations, labeled wanting. Early in walk back home, noted subtle but evident shift in predominant sensations from the surface of the skin to deeper in the skin and body, especially itching and muscle tension. Noted intense itching sensations at pinpoint location within face area. Resisted urge to scratch and observed gradual fading after 15 or 20 breaths. A few similar but weaker itch points emerged and disappeared in face area, along with wider but subtler itch across left calf. Later, noted tension in shoulders and shortly after in forehead. Both times, the tension was noted. It released on its own at the same moment that it was noted, within brackets, or imperceptibly afterwards. But the release was not complete. smaller amounts of lingering tension remained in both areas. Above sensations were punctuated by occasional hand/arm pressure, disturbances as dog stopped or pulled. Mind wondered whether/how long I should give in or keep walking, with vague thoughts of family responsibility on one hand and kindness to the dog on the other, noted as wandering. Occasionally, thoughts related to daily responsibilities emerged as momentary waves of urgency to walk faster and get home for family work responsibilities, noted as thinking and quickly passed. Thought also occasionally arose about whether I should try to focus more narrowly to build better concentration and deeper mindfulness, noted again as wandering. Deepest gratitude to Bhante and organizers for the great merit embodied in this program. That also comes with another practice question, Bhante. Should I continue?
Yes, you can finish the report.
Practice question, sitting meditation. For several months, I have attempted to follow the sitting meditation instruction of beginning with broad awareness of breath in the upper body, moving towards gradually focusing on the most prominent point. My challenge is that there are two areas that are prominent in different ways. The belly has the sharpest clarity and sometimes seems most grounding, but the sinuses usually moving towards the tip of the nose and upper lip are evidently more compelling. Since I usually feel a desire to focus there, even when the breath sensation is very vague and indistinct, sometimes it feels mysterious. The feeling tone in the belly usually remains neutral, while the feeling tone around the nostrils often moves from neutral to pleasant. Sometimes a concern pops up that I find the nose more compelling because of my greed for pleasurable or psychedelic meditative experiences, or that greed is making me cling to sensation at both the belly and the nostrils. Most often, it feels natural to move from the belly to the nostril as the breath calms down, but sometimes it seems to pull back down the belly. Given the predominant experiences, there are four directions that I feel I could practice in, directing my attention towards: 1, nostril; 2, belly; 3, broad upper body sensations; 4, letting the focus move around the body however it chooses to. Is there one of those or a different suggestions that Bhante would recommend? Many thanks in advance. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, so good to hear your experience about mindfulness. When you practice, we all become one. When we are mindful, we become one with the world. We become one with the nature. So that is the idea. You could be living opposite side of the world. Still, it's fine. We become one through the practice. We are connected when we practice. We are connected when we are mindful. So you could be living in a busy city, but you are isolated. You have solitude when you have mindfulness in your mind. Dog walk, but still you are aware, you are practicing, you are continuing. It's more like a day-to-day activity or a walking session that you do mindfully. So you see various things come, various obstacles come, but you continue. again and again you continue. Various thoughts, family problems, work problems come, but you continue with that awareness. So this is how we are going to practice. More and more you practice, more and more skill you will develop. You have to go through these obstacles. You have to go through these experiences again and again. See how they are coming and going. How each and every occasion adding more and more to your practice. Even you can see how the things are coming, how the bodily sensations are there, how the thought processes are there, how you feel your feet, how you feel the skin, the air on the skin. So these things are just helping us to be mindful. This observation is the idea, not the object of the observation. So you see various objects could be there, but still you are mindful, you are aware. So it's a good experience. Thank you for sharing it with the group. So they too can try such things in their day-to-day life. Yeah, anyway, doing these activities. So can we be mindful? That's the idea. Anyway, you are spending time on them. Can you spend that time mindfully? So that's the idea. Then when it comes to sitting session, our idea is to pick one object and closely observe it. Whatever prominent, whatever you feel comfortable, you can pick. It could be your belly, it could be the sensation at nostrils. You take that sensation and you observe it closely. Not just one or two times, but again and again, 30, 40 minutes while sitting, you observe. Let's say your breath, the sensation at the nostrils, you are observing. Then you pay close attention and see whether you can feel the difference between in-breath and out-breath. Whether you can observe a few in-breaths continuously, whether you can observe a few out-breaths. And again you do this exercise. And try and see whether the breath is changing. Whether the sensation that you picked, is it changing? Or is it staying the same throughout the sitting session? So you have to investigate in your mind, is the breath changing? Or is it permanent? Is it not changing? So again and again, you pay close attention to your breath and observing the breath pattern to see whether this sensation is changing. So you just have to practice and see. Sometimes you get these difficulties, you get two sensations and you feel that this is one, this is second one. I can observe both. So the suggestion is that you pick one of them. You pick the one that is more comfortable to you and you can observe it. There's no right and wrong in these sensations. It's just an object. It's just a tool that we are using to be mindful. So you can pick the tool that you are comfortable with. And sometimes you see that even these bodily sensations, they are pleasant. So you get, in a way, you get addicted. In a way, you get addicted to these sensations because they are so pleasant and you want to be there for a long time, right? That's, in a way, it's good because now you are turning inwards for the pleasure. You are not going after outward things. So you have this comfort. You have this pleasant sensation and you want to be with it more and more. So that's okay. That's progress in the practice. But when you practice more and more, you realize that discomfort also you have to let go. That letting go, most practitioners find it difficult. They get addicted to the calm and they want to stay there forever. They want to keep that breath forever. But if the practice is progressing, you realize earlier you were attracted to worldly pleasures. Now you are not attracted to them, but still you are attracted. to these bodily sensations, the peace, the calm that is created out of the practice. So that's one step, right? You let go of the bad and you hold on to the good. Now, there's another step. Now, the attachment is towards these bodily sensations, towards the calm that is it's creating, right? Now, when you progress in the practice, you realize gradually you have to let go of that as well. It's not intentionally that you are doing. Instead, you realize when you observe the breath more and more closely, it changes. That very change, you will resist initially. You don't like that object to change. Breath should stay permanent in this impermanent world. That's the idea of the practitioners. That's the motto of the practitioners. Breath should stay permanent. No, it is also changing. That's also impermanent. So when you observe the breath closely, you see the impermanent nature of the breath. So that comes with the practice. So it is okay, pick one object and practice again and again. And next time when you report, you can tell us whether the breath is changing, whether the breath is permanent, whether it is the same throughout the sitting session. But first you have to investigate, keep an open mind and see whether this breath is changing. Throughout the sitting session, you observe again and again with the intention to find out some variations, with the intention to find out whether the breath is changing. So that's the idea. Then towards the end of your report, you are suggesting four things that you can do, right? That's also fine. You can try each and every option and you can see which is more suitable. Those are experiments that we can see in the practice, we can do in the practice. So it is okay to experiment on this. We are not on a clock, so that's fine to do these things. Various options we have. You laid out four options, so you can try them. And probably next time when you report, you can tell us. Because if I give you a fixed rule, then it is not correct. Because the practice is progressing, evolving in various ways. For each and every person, the practice is unique. So we keep an open mind. We invite you to experiment. We invite you to see which one is more comforting, which one is more progressing. And when you report back, we can further discuss on them. So that's the idea. And we are happy to hear your progress in the practice. And you can probably present your report again next time.
Third report, Bhante. Mindful Sitting, 25th August 2022. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the body into a comfortable position before closing the eyes. Readiness to sit was noted in the mind. Noted sensations of the feet and legs, and the awareness moved slowly upwards until reaching the sensation at the top of the head. When breath appeared, it was fairly prominent. Noted the in-breath and out-breath around the nostrils, and the awareness also moved to rise and fall of stomach from time to time. End of in-breath noted, as well as the small gap between in-breath and out-breath. When breath became more subtle, a feeling of boredom appeared. There was no reaction, and the feeling of boredom passed. Then it arose again and again. Sometimes there was no reaction in the mind, but other times, the mind wanted to get out of the boredom. Attention returned to the breath, which was there, but barely noticeable. Tingling noted in the fingerprints, and tingling expanded to a larger area. Tingling in lips, cheeks, and toes also noted. Awareness was alternating between sensation of breath and sensations in various parts of the body. Breath broke up and airflow noted as waves around the nose and the wider area of the face. Outline of the seated body was fading. Boredom appeared again and then felt sleepy. Noted the nodding of the head couple of times. Mindfulness returned to the breathing, which was now small waves of air. Eyes open after 50 minutes. Originally intended to sit for 1 hour, so closed the eyes again and sat for a further few minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Noting the awareness of the body more and more during various actions during the day. Mind is naturally returning to the body awareness, especially after being distracted. Also noting various feelings and corresponding body sensations. For example, happiness is felt as lightness and ease in the body. Sadness and fear as sinking feeling in the chest. Annoyance and irritation as tightness in stomach muscles, expectation as holding of breath or quicker palpitations, etc. A work meeting was cancelled recently due to the clinical supervisor not being well. A couple of days ago, their daughter called to say that their mother, my clinical supervisor, had passed away. Noted how the automatic tendency of the mind to dramatize the news. Oh no, what do I do now? What happened to her? Gosh, I need to find a new clinical supervisor right away, etc. Then the attention came back to the body and the mindfulness returned. It was a good example how the practice of mindfulness is actually helping to manage unexpected situations. This new capacity in the mind was able to accept the news of the death, also accepted that all beings die, including this body and mind. Whether the mind wanted the drama or not, the death had already taken place. During this contemplation, the sadness arose, but the difference was that the mind noted feeling as sadness as just that, a feeling. This awareness helped short-circuit the mind's usual habit of writing a whole chapter, in this case, about the sadness. Carried on for the rest of the day, with professional duties as well as course at home without too much agitation. The experiential knowledge that the mind has capacity to allow emotion to arise and pass away without too many reaction was very useful. Sad feeling did come up today as well. When reading email about funeral arrangements, although it didn't linger too long. Venerable Bhante, looking forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizing team. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing that experience. You can see that emotions, they appear in our body. You can feel them in your body, right? Only if you are attentive, you can feel them. Otherwise, you get carried away with your mind, with the emotions. So it's a good practice to return to your body when you feel these emotions. When you feel the anger, how do I feel in my body? When you feel the happiness, how do I feel in my body? When you are anxious, how do I feel in my body? So it's returning back to the body. It's a good practice. So it allows you to be with the present moment and you won't get carried away with the emotions. So this is very good practice. You have to keep in mind when you get emotional, you don't have to go with the emotion. Instead, you can come back to the body. you can observe the bodily changes the emotion is making. So in practice, this is called training the body. This is called training the body. When somebody is emotional, if they get carried away, there is lack in the training of body, it is said. If your body is properly trained, I'm not talking about exercise, okay? If your body is properly trained, then you won't get carried away with the emotions. So this very example that you gave, it is called training the body. Whenever you get emotional, whenever you get anxious, whenever you get so many thoughts, whenever your mind is all around the place, you just come back to your body, you observe the bodily changes. And you can feel them. The various changes are there. Happiness will feel one way. Anger will be something else. Then lust probably appear in a different shape. So body is reacting to these emotions. So you are not going with the emotion. Instead, you come back to the body. You observe the bodily change. So this is very good practice. It is called training the body. Right? Then there is another part, which is called training the mind. When there is a bodily ache, let's say you are sick, right? Or there is pain, or you have a headache. Then there is another part of the practice, which is called training the mind. Now the bodily aches are there, right? Now you see, now you observe the mind. Now you observe how the body is changing the mind. How the annoyance is created because of this headache. How the suffering is created because of this sickness. Sickness is there. It's bodily. But more and more suffering is created in your body. So the difference between pain and the suffering. So this part is called training the mind. So when there are emotions that carry you away, you come back to the body and it is called training the body. And when there are bodily aches, bodily difficulties, you go to the mind and do the observation. That is called training the mind. So twofold practice, it is shown, training the body, training the mind. So in this report, you are talking about training the body. When you are emotional, when you get these feelings, thoughts, you come back to your body, you observe. Right? So this is a very good practice. You can keep in mind, you don't have to go with emotions all the time. You don't have to go and thinking, worrying all the time. Come back to your body. Your body is always present. That is why, if I remember last week, we discussed that this peace will arise from your body. It will arise from your body. It will arise from the gut. Not from the thinking processes, right? So that was our idea last week. And when that happens, boredom is a very good sign. You are hit with boredom. So in your report, you mentioned that the boredom is there. You don't appreciate that. You think that you have to go do something, sit in front of a TV or talk to somebody. That is how you get rid of boredom. But if you learn the art of being with this boredom, if you learn the art of appreciating this boredom, that's a very good way towards the realization, towards the peace that we are talking. You can go and do something. Again, you are back to the same foolishness. If you stay with the boredom, then that is the progress in our practice. So you can realize when the thought processes subside, the boredom arises. When you notice the gap in between breath, the boredom arises. When you hear the sound of silence, the boredom arises. When you see the gap in between thoughts, the boredom arises. This is where the real peace will come from. But we don't appreciate. We don't appreciate. We say, we complain, it is so boring, we have to go something else, something interesting, something fun, we would say. Right? But the practitioner will always try to appreciate. Probably based on these discussions, he will know that boredom is a good sign. Boredom is a good sign that I am progressing towards the peace, towards the lasting peace. So you have to keep that in mind. you have to practice again and again. When boredom comes, you have to be glad towards that. You have to think that this is a progress in my practice. So that's the way towards progress more and more. Then towards the end of your report, you are mentioning lost of a close one. And you can see how it is creating chaos in your mind. And sometimes when I was in lay life, I used to go to these funerals and listen to people, how they are, complaining, how they are crying, what are the words that they use. Usually, although they start with some other person who died, usually they return to their own sorrow, right? Now I have to find a new supervisor, right? Now, where is the center? You are the center, right? You start with somebody else who died, poor thing. But you come back to you and you complain, now I need new person, right? Now I don't have a friend to talk about. Now I don't have a family member who will take care of me. This is how people cry. This is how they complain. The center is them. They are the center. So they rotate around that, right? So it's ironic to hear these comments when you go to a funeral, when you see how they are crying, when you hear their reasoning. So this is life. This is how we are. Usually, if you are crying for somebody, that's because you have some lost there. Right? That's why you are complaining. That's why you are crying. You have some expectation towards that person. So they are not doing that anymore. You have to find a new person. You have to find a new parent. You have to find a new friend who will take care of you. So that's the idea. Always centers, always rotates around you. This is the irony in our mind. This is the sarcasm in us. So don't try to change it. It won't change. You can't change it. Just observe the sarcasm in these thought processes. Probably once in a while you can laugh at yourself and see, take it easy and see how thoughts are created based on the things that I lost. How these thoughts are always self-centered. How they are always ego-centered. This is how it works. So you can just have a laugh at yourself and keep observing. You can see the sarcasm in these thoughts and keep observing. It always rotates, centering you. Centering you. That is the mind. That is the self, that is the ego that we are talking about. That's how it works. Don't expect it to center around somebody else. It won't happen. Of course, you think that it is centering around somebody else. It is centering around your husband, your wife. That's how you think. But eventually it comes back to you. The real root is you, not somebody else. If you are mourning for a lost, then you are mourning for yourself. If you are complaining, you are complaining for yourself. If you are finding fault in others, you are finding fault in you. That's the idea. That's the idea. That's the way it works. So you just continue this observation. It's a very good practice. You can keep us updated again next time.
Much merits, Bhante. Reports number 4, mindful walking. 20 minutes. After scanning the standing posture, I started walking back and forth mindfully, observing the lifting, moving, and placing of each foot and how the weight is transferred from one leg to the other. When the soles of the feet touched the floor, I felt the warmth and slight irregularity of the carpeted area and the cool smoothness of the tiled area. Each turning was done slowly and mindfully. Mindful sitting, 30 minutes. Primary object, breath. Adjusted the sitting posture. Rhythmic movements of the in and out breaths were observed at the chest and the abdomen. in-breath was noted as expansion and out-breath was contraction. Settle down to observing the breath at the area of the nostrils. Movement of arising and falling away of each breath was noted. Beginning, middle and end of breaths and gap between in and out breaths noted. As the breath became subtler, the feeling of floating on white clouds appeared, leading to some apprehension. The breath appeared to move from one place to place away from me. Mindfulness in daily activities. Brushing teeth. I placed toothpaste onto the bristles of the toothbrush. As I brushed with repetitive movements, I felt the toothpaste covering the teeth and the minty taste of it. I focused mindfully on brushing all the teeth on the upper and lower jaw. I finally rinsed my mouth. With gratitude to Bhante and the organizing team. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, so when you practice, after some time, probably after trying for a few days, few weeks, you can really feel how this practice is creating peace and calm inside you. So the way, let's say very first time that you are observing, that you are feeling this, you feel like you are among clouds, you are in heavens, right? You are in cloud nine. That's how you feel. So it's a totally new experience for us. We haven't experienced something like that in the outside world. And this is totally refreshing. This is a totally new world. So it feels like in heavens. So even in the practice, we call it a heavenly walk, heavenly sitting session, heavenly walking session, we say. Heavenly walk, heavenly sit, we call them, right? So this is how the practice is progressing. For a newcomer, if you experience this state in your mind, then you realize this is something I have never experienced. This is something I haven't found in the outside world. This is not something that I can gain from the material things. So that's how the practice is progressing. So you feel how the mind is becoming peaceful due to the repetitive observation, repetitive mindfulness. Of course, that feeling also will evolve. That's a different thing, but it's a good sign. It's a good omen that we have in our practice. So good to have them. Otherwise, you have no confidence in the practice. When you see these, when you see these good omens, then you realize something is there, although I don't know. This calm or this peace is there, although I don't experience. So those are good signs, good omens, and they encourage you to keep practicing. Again and again, you practice. So the idea I want to give, your writing ends with the clouds. With the cloud nine paragraph, it is ending, right? So I am inviting you to add the next part. Probably you may have to sit longer. Add 20 more minutes and tell us the next paragraph, which should be something interesting, right? If you stay long enough, you can tell how this cloud kind of sensation is changing. That type of a feeling is changing. So the idea is to practice, sit for a longer period. It's not ending here. There's another paragraph, right? You just have to wait and see how it comes. And I'm not giving you any information. You have to tell us. You have to come and tell us what happened when you stay for a longer period. That's the idea I want to give.
All the reports are read out, Bhante, but it seems to be a follow-up question came through the chat section. May I read that out as well?
Okay, yeah. I think we are out of time, but we can take or 2 minutes.
Very quickly. Thank you very much, Bhante. So the question starts, so is positivity poisonous because it is impermanent and the mind suffers when you are unable to sustain it? and the mind desires and hungers for it when it is not there. That's the end of question, Bhante. Much merits.
Okay, Nadi, we will touch this during our talk. Okay, now we can move forward.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Bhante. Much merits. Because of we are running a little bit late, I would like to hand over to Namanta to carry on the rest of the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Nadeep, and much merits to you, and also much merits to Bhante, and thank you, Bhante. So that was a very insightful session on the Q&A. So next, I would like to briefly go through the steps for a beginner to get started on mindfulness practice. So I would share the screen for the basic information. Okay, I think you can see my screen there. So there are 5 steps that we have. Give us one moment. I think one person got unmuted. Okay, sorry about that. So this is a 5-step plan for a beginner to get started with mindfulness practice. And I would like to briefly go through the 5 points. The first is on the 2 videos, which is the first is mindful walking, and then the next is mindful sitting. These videos will give you a very brief explanation on what to do and observe during each of these sessions. So go through them. You can go through them and get yourself familiarized with the basic concept and understanding to begin with. And secondly, we have the time allocation scenario where we have to decide on a suitable time frame. Like it could be for a very a person beginning, it could be 10 minutes, 20 minutes. But as time goes on, you can expand it to up to 1 hour for each session. So we advise or recommend for you to start with doing both sessions. First session on mindful walking and the next session on mindful sitting for optimal results. Then third step would be to do this for 3 to 4 days at least, and then start writing reports. What happens with report writing is that it reinforces what you experience in these sessions because you are converting the experience into words. So please write the reports where you describe, if it is a mindful walking session, you can describe the primary object of focus and whether there are any thoughts or surrounding noises disturbing you or your mind drifting away towards thoughts or other obstacles, and then moving back onto the body and the movement or the rhythm of the body or the feeling of sensation of feet touching onto the floor. So you can describe all what happened, and you have gained some experience from listening to the reports read out today. You can follow similar format. You can use your own wording. Secondly, you can write the same kind of report on the mindful sitting practice. Primary object would probably be the breath moving in and out, or the abdomen rising and falling, or bodily sensations or movements, or else you might feel that you are drifting away into thoughts and returning back to the bodily sensations while you are being mindful of all this. And then so you can articulate and write nicely on what you experienced so that Bhante can have a firm understanding of what you are experiencing. Although there are 2 aspects written here, mindful walking and mindful sitting practice, it is possible for you to write about your daily mindfulness during daily activities as well. That's the third thing you can include in the report. So you can keep writing these reports week after week and keep them being sent to our email, beginnersnv@gmail.com, or submit them through the Google form shown in this. And also, I would be putting these links into the Zoom chat section for you to copy them into a folder or file somewhere. And then the 5th point is on the link for the video library or the audio library for the past programs. This is the 46th session, so you can go back and listen to the 45 sessions we have done prior to this. So with that, I think this is a good summary for a beginner to start with, and you can get yourself started if you're a beginner, and this would be a good refresher for an experienced practitioner. So I would stop sharing the screen now. Okay, so the next agenda item for us would be the talk on mindfulness to be delivered by Bhante. On behalf of all of us, I would like to invite Bhante with much respect to deliver the talk on mindfulness scheduled for today's session. Over to Bhante. Much merits, Bhante.
Thanks, Namantha. So everybody, we will take a few more minutes to discuss a little bit more on our practice. So today I would like to start the discussion with a number. That's 4,000 weeks. 4,000 weeks. So what's this number? Maybe some of you are aware when I say 4,000 weeks. So that's the length of a human life. When you break it down to weeks, that's 4,000 weeks you got. Probably for some of you, probably like half of it is over. Probably for some of you, even more. So this is the short lifespan that we get as humans. 4,000 weeks, that's all we get. So we are living in this new age. We are living in this modern world. We get the basic necessities. We can breathe. We can eat. We can drink. And we can walk. And probably you have a well enough job. You have a family. You have a car. So you are in a period that you can live comfortably. But are you satisfied with this? That's an interesting question. When we ask that, most of you are not satisfied with it. Although you get your basic necessities fulfilled, you are not satisfied. You want more. You want a sport car. You want a top job that will pay like millions. And you are not satisfied with your family. You are not satisfied with the home that you have. You always want more. So in a way, we are in this new age. We can live up to a certain level. We get our basic necessities fulfilled. And we can be happy. But this world is not oriented towards that. Instead, it will always drive us towards acquiring more and more things. More and more material things, more and more fame, more and more money. So this is how it will work. So in a way, you are already in paradise. But there's a snake in the garden. There's poison in the garden. That snake, that poison, is acquiring more and more things, aiming for more and more things. Being special is what you are after. You don't like the ordinary. You want to be special. So this is the snake in the garden. This is the snake in the paradise. We have ruined paradise because of this request. Because of this inclination that we have. We always go after more and more things, more and more material things, more and more money, more and more worldly pleasures, sense pleasure we are going after. We want first class air travel. We want holiday paradises. We want a sport car. That's how our mind works. That is what we are searching. So you are working, starting from early morning, you are walking till night falls. Still, you are not satisfied. you come home, you think that I'll start tomorrow, early morning. Again, you are working. Next day also you come home, you think I'll start early morning tomorrow. Again, you are working. So it's like running, but never arriving at a peace. It's like horizon that's there. When you look at it, you feel it's close. You feel within few miles you can arrive. But when you travel those few miles, you can see that the horizon is further away. Again and again, you go after this. Again and again, it goes away from you. So this is the life that we are living. This is the world that we live in. And what happens? One in five people, they can't sleep without some aid. They need a pill to sleep. Without that, they can't sleep at night. Then you add the numbers, you add the death from wars, then from terrorism, then the murders. Those three data points you add. Entire world, you add the people who die from the wars, you add the people who die from the terrorist act, then you add the people who die due to murder. When you add this number, it is lower than the people who die from suicide. Can you imagine? That's the world we live in. More people die from suicide than all the world wars in this world, than all the terrorist acts in this world, than all the murders in this world. That's the world we live in. So that's only the suicide part. How about the people who need mental support? How about the people that harm themselves? So this is the result of achieving more and more things. This is the result of trying to be special. This is the result of trying to be extraordinary. So every day when you watch TV, every day when you browse internet, every day when you go up and down on your social media, these are the things you see. You see people with beautiful features and you start to hate your own body. You see more and more luxurious things and you start to hate what you already have. You see people who are earning more and more money and you start to hate your own job. Again and again, you are striving for more and more things. Day and night, you are running for these things. So it's only fair that you end up being mentally sick. It's only fair that you end up harming yourself. It's only fair that you end up killing yourself. So what's the solution, one may ask? The solution is that instead of being extraordinary, can you be ordinary? Can you be normal instead of being special? Can you be normal? That's the question that we ask. Can you just be a part of this human race? Can you just be an ordinary person? Can you just be a normal person? If you accept that, then you are in paradise. You get your basic needs. You have a family. You have a good enough job. You have a car. And you can survive. You can enjoy your life. You can breathe. You can eat. You can walk. You can have it. So that's the idea that I want to give today. So in the practice of mindfulness, in a way, we are surrendering to the present moment. We stop our bodily actions. We stop our verbal actions. We even stop our mental actions. and we just surrender to the present moment. Although it is easier to say, when you try it, you find it really difficult. Doing nothing and surrendering to the present moment is really difficult. You can, of course, stop your bodily and verbal actions easily, but mental actions, it's difficult to stop. When I say mental actions, I'm saying intentional mental actions. The things are happening, that's fine. Even in your body, things are happening. Breathing is happening. Heartbeat is there. That's fine. Those are not intentional. I'm referring to the intentional ones. So even in your mind, when you try to do nothing, it's really difficult. When you try to just be with that flow, it's really difficult. Even as the practice, you want to do something. As the mindfulness practice, you want to do something. That's why some of you come and complain that I want to do that, I want to observe the breath, I want to do this, but it's not possible. That's a usual complaint that we get. So we have trained our minds to do again and again from early childhood. Even your parents are teaching you to do things, achieve things. That's how we have grown up. So non-doing, it's really difficult. Just being, it's really difficult. But if you just surrender to the present moment, you are ordinary, you are normal. That nature, we don't appreciate. So you don't have to do anything to be ordinary. Instead, you are born ordinary. You are born normal. That very nature, we are appreciating during our practice. We walk comfortably and we just be. We sit on a cushion, close our eyes and just be. That very being is appreciating this ordinary nature, appreciating this human nature, appreciating this normal nature inside us. So if there's a newcomer here, you can just try this every day. Take some time, 10-15 minutes, and sit on a cushion, close your eyes, pay attention, and see what is happening. Just let that process continue and try to observe what is happening. Then you just walk for some time and just be with that process. That very surrendering, that very just being, that very practice is refreshing. It will create peace in your mind. It will create calm in your mind. So that's what you hear as the practice reports that we heard earlier. When you walk, when you sit, when you do your day-to-day activities mindfully, you can experience this peace that we are talking. You can experience this comfort that arises from the practice. So this is being normal, being ordinary. In this world, more and more people are trying to be special. More and more people are trying to be extraordinary. But with this practice, we try to be ordinary. We try to be normal. We just try to be like a tree in a forest. That tree, it doesn't have any idea of being special. It doesn't have any idea of being extraordinary. Instead, that tree is born normal. It's born ordinary. That very nature we are appreciating. Even in us, we have that very nature. We are trying to appreciate it. In order to appreciate, you have to train your mind again and again. If you just say, appreciate this normal nature, appreciate this ordinary nature, it will last only for a few seconds. Again and again, usual thoughts processes are happening. Again and again, usual behaviors are happening. So in a way, you are training your mind to be in the present moment. In a way, you are training your mind to be normal, be ordinary. In a way, you are training your mind to surrender to the present moment. You have to do this 1,001 times. You have to do this till it becomes habitual. That's why even in your reports, some of you mentioned that I can feel that even day-to-day life, I am naturally mindful. Now the mindfulness is coming naturally to you. You are not chasing after it. Instead, it comes naturally. Due to the repetitive practice, this is happening. It's not happening by luck. Instead, due to the repetitive practice, you can feel that in your day-to-day life, you are naturally mindful. Even facing an accident, you are naturally mindful. Even during a trouble, you are naturally mindful. Your mind is anxious, so you are naturally mindful. You are lustful, you are naturally mindful. You get so many thoughts in your head, still, you are naturally mindful. You feel how your body is changing due to these emotional states. When you are angry, instead of going after this anger, instead of getting lost in it, we just come back to our body and we observe the bodily sensations. Then you can say, anger appears like this in my body. Anger appears like a tightness in my body. So that's the report that we heard earlier. It's not my comments I'm giving. It's the reporter that mentioned that anger appears like this. Happiness appears in a different shape. When I'm anxious, it appears in a different shape. When I'm lustful, it appears in a different shape. So instead of getting carried away with the emotions, instead of getting lost in them, you return to your body. You observe how these emotions are manifesting in your body, how these emotions are appearing in your body. That very observation will help you to be present. Again and again, you are doing this. Usually, the negative feelings, it's easier to practice. The positive ones, we don't want to practice there. When the happiness is there, we get lost in them. When the sadness is there, we feel friction, we want to practice. When the anger is there, we feel friction, we want to practice. But the positive ones, usually, we are not practicing during them. But even the positive emotions, you can feel how they are manifesting in your body. Happiness, it takes a shape in your body. Calm takes a shape in your body. So these emotions, they appear in your body. When you observe that bodily sensation, you are assured that you are in the present moment. Again and again, you are doing this observation. As long as you are aware, you can do this. Do your daily activities. We are not asking you to stop them. While doing them, try to be aware. Try to be aware of your body. Try to be aware of what you are doing. Try to be aware about your emotional status. That very observation you are doing again and again and again. And what you realize that when you observe them again and again, you realize that even the negative feelings, emotions, even the positive feelings, emotions, they are not permanent. They appear they do their thing and they disappear. This is the process that is happening day and night. This is the process that is happening again and again. You just try to observe, and when you observe, you see the reality. They are not lasting. They are not permanent. Instead, they come and go. That's their nature. That's their behavior. When the happiness is there, you are happy. When the worrying is there, you are sad. They are not permanent. This is the human nature. They appear, they stay for a while, they disappear. You just try to see through them. You just try to do this observation. You just see how they are impermanent. That's why we say even the pleasant things, they are poisonous. Unpleasant things, you feel the poison. Pleasant things, you don't feel it. But when the pleasant things disappear, you feel the friction. If you have something that you value, when it is destroyed, you feel the friction. Even the happiness, when it disappears, it's unpleasant. So in a way we can say pain equals pleasure, pleasure equals pain. When you are mindful, when you observe it again and again, you see this real nature behind these things. When you get pleasure, you see that after a while it will disappear and it's painful. When you get pain, you realize that after a while this pain will disappear and it is pleasurable. Again and again, this process is happening. Again and again, you are doing this observation. And when you do this observation, it is natural that boredom arises in your mind. Boredom, most of you don't appreciate, but it's a good sign that your mind is disinterested in this process. As long as your mind is appreciating this process, as long as your mind is appreciating this flow, boredom won't arise. When you are disinterested in this process, in this flow, then only the boredom will arise. That's why some of you might feel as soon as you get to walking, you walk few rounds and you feel bored. You sit for a few minutes and boredom hits you. Again, you get up, you go do something else, you are not bored. Boredom is not there. Again, you come back and sit. As soon as you close your eyes, boredom hits you. As soon as you walk a few rounds, boredom hits you. That comes from the practice, but we don't have the attitude of appreciating this boredom. We complain. We complain that we can't observe the breath. We can't observe the stomach. Although I know I am walking, I can't observe the sensations. Those are the usual complaints that we get. Because you are not appreciating this boredom, because you don't know that this boredom is a very good sign. That's a sign of disinterest in this process. That's a sign of disinterest in this flow. If you are attracted to this flow, if you are attracted to this process, then you are caught. If you have no interest in this process, then you are peaceful. That peace is a lasting peace. It's not temporary. If the peace is dependent on something, then it's temporary. If the peace is not dependent on anything, then it's a lasting peace. So the invitation is to experience yourself. Although I can talk, although others can present their experience, it won't matter to you. They are just words. But if you experience, if you do this, then that's much more valuable. Then you really feel what we are talking about. So try to experience this. Try to verify this in your own practice. Try to see whether we are talking truth. You can only verify through practice, not in other way. So we invite you to practice and see whether you can feel this in your practice, whether you can feel this in your walking, whether you can feel this in your sitting. You feel this real peace arising in your walking. You feel this real peace arising in your sitting. This real peace, it's not dependent on anything. It arises in between. It arises from the gap in between two breaths. It arises from the sound of silence. It arises from the gap in between thoughts. It arises from this body. It arises from your gut. That very peace you can only experience. It's not a peace that arises from the thought processes. It's not a peace that's arising from the rational thought. It's something that arises from your body. It's something that you have to experience. So we invite all of you to experience yourself. And if you share your experience, then of course we can discuss further. As a group, we can develop in our practice. So with that, I am going to finish for today. Thank you for listening.
Much thanks to Bhante for that insightful talk on mindfulness. So it is indeed a very good experience to understand the workings of the mind through this technique of mindfulness, so that we can face all of the challenges, even some of the emotional challenges, even when we are well prepared in ahead of things that happen. That is a purpose. So I hope you have all gained immense insight from Bhante's talk, and you can apply this to your practice, especially on mindfulness during day-to-day activities, general activities, which can boost up your training. So with that, the session comes to an end. Since we are kind of over time, I would like to wrap up very quickly. I would like to mention with much respect and much regard Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Theru for representing Nisaranavane Forest Monastery and being in this session, providing us with such a valued expertise on mindfulness through the in-session practice, the Q&A session, and also the talk on mindfulness. So we hope these merits pass on to Bhante, and Bhante's own practice improves with comfort, and Bhante is able to continue this great service. Much merits, Bhante. And then we would also like to mention with much respect most venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhamma Jiva Mahatheru, for the chief abbot of the Nisaranavane Forest Monastery, for insightfully creating or requesting to create this session on mindfulness. So we hope the merits will pass on to the chief Bhante as well, and also we hope the merits will pass on to all the Bhantes at Nisaranavane Forest Monastery and help improve their own practice. Also, I would like to mention with great gratitude all the organizers who worked tirelessly to bring this program into being, and who are still monitoring and aiding the progress of this program and the quality of this program. So much merits to all of you, and hope these merits will improve your own practice. Then I would also like to thank all the participants who participated today and all the participants who have been participating in this program for their presence and time and dedication. It is because of you that the program is running this way. If I were to come and host a session alone by myself, there will not be a program. So it is your presence that makes the fuel or the blood for the program to run continuously. So thank you, and I pass on all merits to you and hope that these merits will help in improving your own practice too. So with that, I would like to pass on some quick routine messages in the chat section, just a regular practice of informing you. So with that, I would like to conclude the session on mindfulness for today, and next week I would invite you to participate same time on Saturday. I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead until we see you next week. Thank you very much. I will end the session soon.